in the light. Living in the light. There is a historical account about John the Baptist's birth. And it's found in Luke chapter 1, starting around verse 74, Zechariah, his daddy, prophesies about what John the Baptist is supposed to do. Remember, when Zacharias found out that they were going to have a kid, he didn't believe it, and the angel struck him dumb, and he couldn't speak. That may be good for some families, if your husband couldn't speak for 9 months. But the baby is born, and they say, what are we going to name him? They want to name him Zacharias, and it says his name is John. And as soon as that happened, as soon as God's plan was fulfilled, his tongue was opened up. Folks, when we see God's plan fulfilled, it should cause us to open up our tongue and say things to people. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 74 through 79, you know, God gives us the light. Anywhere through the Bible, when there were dark times, God always provided light. Might have been a man, it might have been a woman, it might have been himself. But in Luke chapter 1, verses 74 through 79, this was the prophecy about John the Baptist. Zacharias is speaking here, and he says this, is that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. Last week we talked about living in the presence of fear. And we should not have any fear if you know God. This should increase our faith. No, fear starts with the same letter as faith. It's our choice which one we want to do. Verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, talking to John the Baptist, the newborn, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Folks, we are living in some difficult times. And we are God's representatives. We're ambassadors for him. And we're supposed to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And then here's the issue. Folks, this is what the church is supposed to do today. This was made of the prophet John the Baptist. This is our mission, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know, we answer the question about how long. There's a whole world out there asking how long. People are getting antsy. We've seen things that we've never seen before. And it can be a struggle. You turn on the TV and it's all about numbers. It's all about numbers. We need to turn to God in this. And there are things that we can look, that we can be light in darkness. You know, when you're going through outside into a dark room, you might be afraid of what's in there. Especially if it smells or you hear strange noises in there. Back when I was on an exercise in Germany, I was actually participating as a airman or a pilot who was shot down, and I was going through the evasion and escape things. And they put us in these dark rooms, and one of those times was in a barn, and it was dark. And you could hear this fluttering. And we went, what is that? There's a guy with me. And there were bats. And you could hear them moving around. And that was kind of scary because there was no light. We couldn't turn on the light because we would be discovered. Folks, people are afraid of the dark. We need the light, and we have the light in Jesus. You know, there is hope. And I think the best thing that we have right now that we can convey to other people is hope. We can have hope even in the darkest of times. You know, Christ Himself gave hope. There was a blind man, and Christ heals him. It says in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. This is a account of this. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man." Jesus knows what's going on right now. Jesus knows what's going on in your life right now. And He says, "Which was blind from his birth." And you know, the world wants to always look at the negative. Because obviously if things aren't going right, it's someone's fault. Yeah. You did something wrong. You're causing all this to happen in my life. And so His disciples come up with this great theological discussion. They said, obviously, this guy's done some bad stuff. It says in verse 2, it says, "And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did what? Sin. Who caused this malady to come upon this man? Who caused him not to be able to see?" He said, "This man himself or his parents?" Or his parents, that he was born blind. And here's Jesus saying, you know, some things come to us to test our faith. Some things come to us when we didn't do anything at all. You know, I don't think anyone asked for this virus, but it's here. In verse 3, it says this, as Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Verse 4, "I must work." Folks, that is the motto for the Christian right now. I must work. Whenever an opportunity comes up, we need to work. "I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." And here's an interesting verse. In verse 5, it says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now we know that Jesus came physically in the flesh. And He is the light of the world. He said that Himself. He's talking about His physical ministry right now. But you know something? There's a spiritual application here. Folks, as long as you're looking for Him right now, you'll find Him. But if you turn your back on Him, and you're looking at the world and everything else but Jesus, you will not see the light of Jesus. See, this is a choice that the world has to make. This is a choice that we as Christians have to make. We can either choose to live in fear, or we could choose to live in faith. We can choose to live in darkness and look at all the agony, or we could choose to live in the light. We can choose to live as if there's no hope, but we can also choose to live as there is a great hope. And we need to choose to live in hope. Because hope maketh not ashamed. So the question is, He is our light as long as we allow Him to be our light. He's always there. He's always there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, he says this, he says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Remember Genesis? Remember Genesis? What was the first thing created? Light. See, God is light. He created light for us. It was the first thing He created. "Commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath what? Shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Amen. Folks, we need to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So there are several things I want to point out this morning. God is light. Whenever it's darkest, there's light. Because there's always God. We could choose to look for it. We could choose to turn on the light switch. We could choose to push on the button. We could choose to see Him, or we could choose not to do it. That's our choice. But what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Several things that we need to understand. That light gives comfort. Hope gives comfort. I think all of us at one time, when we were little kids, maybe when we were big kids, we go to bed and it's dark. And we might be a little bit fearful of the dark. I mean, with so many electronics now, there's light everywhere in the house. But, you know, how many of us at one time has, because of our anxiousness or our distress, we went and we turned on the light? Or we have a night light in our room. Or something to give us comfort. Because light gives comfort. It takes all the shadows away. And it helps us to clearly see what's going on. If you've ever been in a real dark room, and you see maybe a hole or you see a source of light, what do you want to do? You want to go look at it. You want to go look at it. It's human nature. Because light gives us a sense of comfort. You know why? Because God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. We all know that we need light. And we know that we need light even in the darkest of times. But light gives comfort. That comfort is a complete comfort. In John chapter 14, verse 18, Christ says, I'm going to get crucified. And he makes this statement. He's already made the statement. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And the disciples are seeing him get closer and closer to crucifixion. They're worried. They're worried that there's going to be darkness from this. But Christ and God has this promise for us. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you if you're looking for Him. That's a promise from God, the creator of the universe. That's the promise from God who gave us life. That's the promise of God who's the God of all hope. It's a complete comfort. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, we studied this book, and Paul writes, and he's always given encouragement in his greeting to all the churches. Always gives encouragement. That ought to be a model that we need to follow. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all what? Comfort. He's the God of all light. In Him is light, and there's no shadow or darkness or turning in Him. There's no darkness in Him at all. Who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, it's not just about you. It's about making you the servant of all. It's about us to allow our little light to shine. It's about us to give out the glory of God through the knowledge of Him. It's about us to know, hey, God's getting me through this time. He can get through. What a tremendous opportunity. A day doesn't go by now that I'm not able to share the gospel with someone. Oh, God's comfort. Light is comfort, and it's a complete comfort. But the condition, as we've already seen, is that we need to come to the light. Do you see darkness in your life this morning? There is a shimmer of light. You need to look up. You need to look up to God. If we come to the light, in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 9 through 10, it says, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and what? Stay upon his God. Folks, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to come to the light. We don't need to walk away from him now, like the prodigal son did his father. But we need to walk towards him today. And if we walk towards him, we will find light. And in light, there is comfort. In John 8, verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Do you have the light of life this morning? Do you have the light that you can share to other people? Or are you fearful of the dark? Are you fearful of the future? Then you need to increase your faith in God. You might need to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ today. Maybe this is your wake-up call that you need to say, I'm going to do this now. Because light gives comfort. It's a complete comfort. But it only comes when we come to the light. And then here's another thing. We need to stay in the light. We need to stay in the light. In John chapter 12, verse 46, it says, I am come. Now it's interesting when Christ says this. He says, he doesn't say, I came. He always uses present tense because Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He says, I am come, a light into the world. You know why? Because God created light and Christ is the embodiment of light. That whosoever believeth on me, and that believeth is a continual action verb. Right. It's continual. We need to believe on him. You want to stay in the light? You need to continue to believe on him. Not just when you're in a crisis, but all the time. Because if you do it all the time, you'll see the darkness coming. Don't wait till you're in the darkness to come to him. All him, and whosoever believeth in me, should not abide or live in darkness. Oh, folks, light has comfort. And it's a complete comfort. Only God, who is the God of all comfort, can give it to us. If we come to the light. Oh, I hope today that you'll make a decision to come to the light and then make a decision to stay in the light. I don't know what's going to happen after this all, but I know that our society has fundamentally changed. And folks, I hope that this event in our lives is something that will fundamentally change us and draw us closer to the light of God. Amen. So light gives comfort. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, this then is the message which we have heard of him and deliver unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, what a promise. Oh, what a benefit if we stay and we walk in the light to have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Oh, light gives comfort. The next thing is that light gives illumination. Light drives things out of the room. You can't look at the sun very long. You can glance at it. You know why? Because it's so bright. You know, one day we're going to stand in front of God, and we're going to be able to see the brightness of his glory. And it's going to be awesome. No darkness there. You know, you come into a dark room, and if you don't turn on a light switch, what happens? you bump into things. And when your eyes get worse like mine, you bump into more things. And you're fumbling around. What's the first thing you reach for in a dark room? You reach for the light switch. And when you have the light switch and the illumination comes down, you can see clearly all the things that are in the room. Folks, light gives us illumination that we can see clearly all the things that are in front of us that we have to navigate around. Light gives illumination. See, God's light is universal. Well, He just hoards it for, He just gives it to people, okay, that He wants to give. No, God is no respecter of persons. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, in Him was life. And the life was the what? Light of men. There's hope in Christ. There's hope in Christ. And the light shineth in darkness. And unfortunately, today, there's more people looking to experts than to God. Now, we need to listen to experts. People have more knowledge than we do. But at the same time, we need to have that mingled with faith. It says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. This could be God's judgment. But it's also a trial for us. And the issue is, whatever the case may be, we're living in it. And so now, how do we react to it? We need to come to the light. It's the light of all comfort. Light gives us illumination. In John chapter 1, verse 9, a little bit further down in that chapter, it says, that was the true light. See, John talks about John the Baptist. He says he wasn't that light. He was to show the light. And folks, we're not the light. We're given the light by God. But we need to show God's light. He says, that was the true light which lighteth how many men? Every man that cometh into the world. See, God's light shined centuries ago on every man. God's light shined on millennia ago on every man. God's light shines on us today on every man. Light gives illumination and it's universal. God's here with us right now. And we need to reach out and come into His presence and follow Him and stay in His presence. God's light is universal. God's light is revealing. And here's some sub-points on this one. The first one is, God's light is revealing in reproof. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says this. It says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the what? By the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. See, darkness will not reveal anything. Darkness will hide stuff. Darkness can hide your sin. You can live in darkness. But my Bible says, he that liveth in the sin, covereth his sin, shall not what? Prosper. He shall not prosper. Wherefore he saith, awake that thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, this is a tremendous opportunity. Tremendous opportunity. We have the knowledge of God. We have the knowledge of how God works, how He's worked in our lives. We can share that to other people. We need to wake up and take the opportunity, not let this one go past. Not let this one go past. See, God's life is revealing in reproof. It shows us what we need to do because where we're going right now is wrong. God's light is revealing in truth. In John chapter 3, verse 21, John writes there, he says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. See, when you turn on a light in a dark room, you see everything. When we allow God's light to be turned on into our heart, we should see everything. The good and the bad. And it should cause us to get rid of the bad. You know, being home, my wife being home, She has now started to turn on the lights in closets and said, "Oh, this is bad," and cleaning this all out. And now we just have things moved around. But the issue is, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. You know why? We stay the course. It will get better.
Amen.
You know, when God's turned on the light in your closet, does He see all the old clothes as we talked about Wednesday night? That we need to get rid of that old wardrobe and put on new stuff? Do you see things that really do not do any good for us, just basically as a weight that we need to get rid of so we can run the race with patience? See, this is what we need to do, is we need to let God turn on the light in our lives. It says, "He who doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." See, there's one standard for how a Christian operates, and that's God's standard. You either do it for God, or you're not doing it for God. We've gone through Colossians chapter 3, and it talks about that. The issue is what's motivating your life? What's driving your life? Is it fear or is it faith? It should be light, because light gives comfort. It's a complete comfort. If we come to the light and we stay in the light, light gives illumination. God's light is revealing. It's universal. God's light is revealing when it is lifted up. Hide in our bush? Oh no! I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out? I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine to what? Jesus comes? I'm going to let it shine. See, we go verse 14, go verse 15, 16 in here. But verse 15 in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, has an application. He says, when you light a candle, you don't put it under something. You don't put it on the floor. You put it up high. Why? So that light that goes 360 degrees in a spherical pattern goes everywhere. Neither do light men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a what? Candlestick. And giveth light unto what? All that are in the house. Folks, we need to lift up Christ. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Right.
See, God's light is revealing in reproof and truth when it's lifted up. God's light is universal. Next, God's light should be in every part of our lives. We see that God makes our deeds manifest to see if they're of God. In Luke chapter 11, verse 36, it says, "If thy whole body therefore be what? Full of light." Now, full means to be full, 100% full. No other space available. "But if our whole body therefore be full of light, having no what? No part dark. The whole shall be full of light, as when the light, bright shining of a what? Candle doth give thee light." Matthew 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. "Therefore, if thy eye be single or focused on God, thy whole body shall be full of light." You know, there's an interesting thing about light. When you allow it in a little peephole, it spreads out. And it fills everything. It fills everything. And folks, we need to have the light of God fill every part of our life. That gives us hope. I don't fear what can happen, because nothing will separate me from the love of God. So, light gives comfort. Light gives illumination. Light gives direction. Have you ever been lost in the woods? Yep. Been lost in the woods. And what happens when you're walking around in the woods and you see a light? You follow the light. You know why? Because there's civilization there. There's electricity there. There's fellowship there. And it gives comfort. It gives illumination. Hey, there's something in the darkness I can see. And you go toward the light. And when you get there, you might find a house. And you might find help. See, light gives direction. We need to look for the light's direction. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, you know, this is Palm Sunday. But there wouldn't be Palm Sunday if Christ hadn't been born. There would have been Palm Sunday hadn't there not been darkness in the world. And God said, I've had enough of this. I'm going to send my son to be the light of the world. I want to fulfill my promise of giving light to people. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the what? Light shined. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says this, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. So, folks, light gives direction. Light gives us illumination, but light gives us direction, and then we follow the light. Because wandering around in darkness getting us nowhere. We need to go to the light. So we need to look for light's direction. We need to follow light's direction. There's a lot of people that just look for something. And that knowledge is just seeing it. That's good enough for me. No. It doesn't work that way. We need to follow light's direction. Psalm 119 verse 105, a very familiar passage. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my what? Path. In Isaiah chapter 42 verse 16 it says, I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Let God straighten you out this morning. Let's not get all wrapped around the axle about all the things that are going on in the world. Let's get our mind straight and our spirit straight. These things will I do unto them and will not forsake them. God's never going to turn the light off. He's never going to turn the light off. So we need to follow light's direction. And folks, when we're following God's direction and we're getting closer to Him, the direction gets clearer more we follow the path. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, this is a neat verse. It says, but the path of the just is as a shining light. And here's the kicker. The second part of this verse that says, that shineth more and more until the perfect day. Oh, folks, what a tremendous opportunity. Light gives comfort. Light gives illumination. Light gives direction. And if we follow that direction, we'll be more like the children of light that God wants us to be. See, as we get closer and closer, then we can do the things that we're supposed to do. We are to be light. It's God's expectation. In Christ's first sermon, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the what? Light of the world. It says, you might be, or you should be, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It will be seen from miles away, and people will come to it. Folks, your light should be seen from miles away, that people should come to you, and you can show God. It's God's expectation. It's God's exhortation to us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And here is the exhortation. Here's the encouragement. Go thy way, and ye shall find rest, and stand in the lot at the end of days. Remember that? That we need to have compassion. That we need to help, not hoard. That we need to encourage people and exhort people and give them hope. That we should be committed. That we should keep Christ in sight. Because Christ is the light. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. That's what God expects out of us today. In closing, are we the light? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, says again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. And the true light now shineth. You know, people say this will pass, and I firmly believe that this crisis that we're in, it will pass. The issue is how we respond to it. We don't need to live in fear. Okay? We don't need to live as if there's uncertainty. We don't need to live in torment. We need to have the truth in us. In Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. This is a concept that we're showing the way. We're showing the way. We're lifting up God, and He can see where we're going, and we can lead other people to Him. That's what we need to do. Living in the light means giving the light. Amen. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior? If not, today, understand that God sent His Son to live a perfect life, to be a sacrifice for you, to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again 3 days later. And basically all He's asking is that we would understand that we can't get to heaven on our own, and that we need to ask for Christ's sacrifice and His forgiveness. And believe that He did it for me. And that He rose from the dead. And He sits on the right hand of God. A simple prayer. Oh God, I know I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven. But I know You died on the cross for me. I accept You as my Savior. Forgive me my sins. I know that You rose again from the dead. And that You can give eternal life. And I accept You now as my Lord and Savior. Save me. That simple prayer of faith, believing, will save you. Christian, are you walking in darkness? Or are we walking in the light? If we're walking in the light, we need to be giving the light to a world that's in darkness. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time of invitation. Father, I pray that You just give us the courage, Lord, and the faith to follow You. Lord, help us to follow You with all of our heart. Help us to come to the light of comfort, that it illuminates our lives. And that, Father, that we would basically share it. Lord, I just ask that just give us direction this morning, as only Your light can do. And help us be obedient to You. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.